Gospel of John, chapter 1. I hope you have your Bible with you. If you have your bulletin this morning, you can see the outline for the message in the bulletin, and you have room on the back of it to make some notes. John chapter 1, and starting with verse 1, preaching today about as many as received him, as many as received him. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Notice that word, life and light. And verse 5, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, or authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12 of John 1. Would you stand with me, please? And let's read verses 11 and 12. John 1, 11 and 12. Are you ready? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's great. Let's try it one more time. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Be seated, please. As we think about the Gospel of John, and we think about the Gospel of John, about the apostle of love, it is really the Gospel of love. For in the Gospel of John, Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew's king, and when you look in Matthew, he has a crown upon his head. In Mark, he is a servant of Jehovah, and he has his sleeves rolled up and working. And the word that you often see in Mark is immediately, really, was translated, really means immediately or straightway. In the Gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke tells us about Jesus, who is truly God and truly man. He's the Son of God, of the Son of Man. And in the book of John, we find our Lord as the Son of God. And now here in John chapter 1, the very dramatic and descriptive portion of the Word of God, as it tells us about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, about those who receive him and those who do not receive him. Now, this verse starts out, number one, about the revelation. That is that God has revealed himself to us. God's revealed himself to me. God has revealed himself to you. And he's revealed himself to everyone. 7.25 billion in the world today. He came unto his own. He came into his own world. This is our Father's world. This is God's world. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's his own world. And he came to his own. He came to his own people. For he made us. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. God came to his own world. He came to his own people. He came into his own. He came into his own, and his own received him not. And so we find that God has revealed himself to us. You say, Brother Bill, how in the world has God revealed himself to me? He's not really spoken audibly, and he's not spoken audibly to me. But God has spoken to us, And God has spoken to us in many ways, and the first way is by creation. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the earth shows His handiwork, day unto day under His speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no language where His voice is not heard. God has spoken to us. Last night after the funeral, we went out and had a bite to eat and went out of the restaurant at Athens and looked up into the sky, and the most beautiful clouds. Did you see those clouds? The clouds last night were just amazing. Beautiful clouds. You look, and if we open our eyes, we realize that God has revealed Himself to us. And then when I got home last night and was walking out to my office behind the house, I looked up, and you know what I saw? I saw the moon. Now, some of you men haven't seen the moon for quite a while, okay? How long has it been since you saw the moon? It was beautiful, a beautiful, full, beautiful moon last night. And I told Martha, I said, it looked like the Carolina moon when I lived in South Carolina. Something about the moon in South Carolina that's really very, very special. But I looked at the moon and how beautiful it was. And then a cloud came across and completely blocked out the moon. And I thought, that's the way life is so many times, that there are clouds of difficulty, clouds of sickness, and clouds of heartbreak, and clouds with our children, and clouds with our job, and clouds with our nation, clouds with our government, clouds in our neighborhood, things that are happening to us. And clouds come. The moon is still there. But the clouds cover the moon. And so God has revealed Himself, and God has taken the initiative, and God has revealed Himself to you. And there's no one, I hear people say, what about the heathen who have never heard the gospel? Well, the heathen have the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the beauty, and the mountains, and the rivers, and the oceans. And God has revealed Himself to the heathen. And so that God says that we are without excuse. There's absolutely none of us here this morning who can say to God, it's your fault that I don't know about you, because God has revealed Himself to us in creation. And how we need to open our eyes. And how we need to see. And I know this is a fallen world. I understand that. I understand that we live in a fallen world. But it is still, with all the fall, it is still a beautiful world. You go to the ocean, hear the sound of the waves, and they come in and they go out, they come in and they go out. And you look at all the beauty of the world. And God has revealed Himself to us in creation. But God did not stop there. For God has revealed Himself, secondly, not only in creation, but He revealed to us Himself in our conscience. That is a voice that God has put within us. Every one of us, every person in the world has a conscience in Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, which show the works of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts of mean either accusing or excusing. The Word of God says, you know, the original Ten Commandments were written on tables of stone. Remember that? And Moses came down, had the two tables of stone, and the people had really gotten wild, and you know, and some of them pulled their clothes off and dancing around the golden calf, and he threw them down and broke them. But God has written the law, His law, on the fleshly tablets of your heart. You have God's law, the written Ten Commandments, written in tables of stone in your heart. And you can never say, I don't care. I don't care where you are or where you live. God has given everyone a conscience. The person in the jungle has a conscience. And they know that there is right and wrong. You say, well, now, Brother Bill, this is 2015. And there are no, you say, there are no absolutes. There are no rights and wrong. My friends, God has revealed himself to you in creation. God has written his law in your heart, in those fleshly tablets within your heart, and you know right and wrong. You know right and wrong. And there's not a person here this morning who can say, I don't know, and could stand before a holy, just God and say, I didn't know that, because God has revealed himself to you in the conscience. Adolf Hitler said, I want to raise a generation devoid of conscience. Adolf Hitler said, I'm going to do away with conscience. But he did not. He did not. And no one has been able to silence. You can do all sorts of things. You can try to silence your conscience with alcohol, but there's not enough alcohol in the world to quiet and silence your conscience. You may try to deaden your conscience with drugs, with marijuana and wacky backy and weed and all that stuff, but my friends, the voice of conscience is still there. You may try to deaden your conscience with all kinds of prescription drugs, but I want to tell you, by the way, that's one of the greatest areas of drug abuse today is prescription medicine, and painkillers. And so, God has revealed himself to us in our conscience. By the way, Adolf Hitler was on all kinds of drugs in his system. But you cannot silence the voice that God has put within you. You may put the earphones in your ears and spend your time before the TV set and playing all sorts of games and that sort of thing, but you cannot silence the voice that God's put within you. But not only creation and conscience, but God has revealed himself to you in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and verse 1, God who in sundry times and divers manners spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, Hebrews 1 and verse 1, spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And so God has spoken to us in so many ways. No one who's here today, and I can't speak to those who are not here, okay? Nobody can say, God has not spoken to me, Brother Bill. Oh, yes, he has. Oh, yes, he has. He's spoken to you by creation. He's spoken to you by conscience. And he's spoken to you by Christ. And thank God. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Aren't you glad he came? Aren't you glad that he's willing to leave the ivory palaces of heaven and come down here to a stable to be born in a little dinky town called Bethlehem? And Christ is the Word. He's the Word. He's the living Word. The Bible is a written Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. He's the Word. He is life. John 1 and 4, in him is life. And life was in the light of men. You see, Brother Bill, I had a relative who told me one time, he said, you're not anything if you don't have money. You're not anything if you don't have money. My friend, money is not life. And having a big job is not life. And having a big income is not life. There's only life in Christ. If you don't have Christ, you do not have life. You're just existing. And so, Christ is the life and the light of men. And the Word of God says he is light, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. We live in a dark world. But you know, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. When I was in the military, they would take us out for night exercises. They'd take us out to show you what just a little bit of light, how it could show up. And they took us out, and a long way from there, somebody would light a cigarette, and you could see that cigarette way out there. Or light a match. And you can see that light. You see the light from just a little match. Just a little match. Showing us how what we do can expose us to the enemy. And Christ is light. Maybe there's someone here this morning who has dark feelings. And you feel like nobody cares. And you feel like there's no meaning to life. And you wonder if some of these things that I talked about, alcohol or drugs, if those things can give you, put some light into your life. You say, Brother Bibble, my life is so dark. It is so dark. But Jesus is, He's light. I read this, and let me share it with you. He was born contrary to the laws of nature. He had no earthly father. He was reared in obscurity and lived in poverty. He only crossed the boundaries of the land in which he lived, was born one time, once. He had no wealth. He was not trained or educated in the world's schools. His mother was inconspicuous and obscure. But in infancy, he startled kings. In boyhood, he puzzled learned scholars. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He healed multitudes without medicine. He made no charge for his service. He never wrote a book. He never founded a college. And throughout history, great men have come and gone. Yet he lives on. Herod could not kill him. And Satan could not seduce him. And death could not destroy him. And the grave could not hold him. Yes, God has revealed himself to every one of us. And every one of us stand here, we say, I just don't know about God. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You say, I don't know about right and wrong. Oh, yes, you do, because God has revealed himself to you. Number two, very quickly, you see on the outline there in the bulletin, is rejection. And he came into his own, and his own received him not. That word received there simply means they would not even come near to them. Now, I've been preaching a long time, and I've held my hand out a lot of times to shake hands, and sometimes people would ask me, a guy came to me one time over at the Red House, said, I've been watching you and I've been trying to figure out who you are. He said, either you're a politician or you're a preacher. He said, which one are you? I said, I'm a preacher. Or sometimes people ask me, said, what are you running for? I say, I'm running for Jesus. I just love people. I just love the Lord. And it's wonderful to meet people. And I love to meet and greet and to shake hands. Some of you, I've shook hands with you twice today, okay? I'm going to give me a little stamp so I won't do that again, okay? And so, you know, he has revealed himself to us. And he came into his own, and his own received him not. I read a story about Andrew Jackson, who his home was near Nashville, Tennessee. I've been there, some of you have been there to the Hermitage, where Andrew Jackson, who was kind of a crude kind of guy, he wasn't a girl, he was a guy, and he was a great general, and that's how really he got into the presidency. But there's a guy who had committed a crime and was condemned to die. And so President Jackson said he's going to pardon him. And so he issued a pardon to this man who was condemned to die. But you know what? That man refused the pardon. He refused the pardon. And you know, Andrew Jackson was really a hard, kind of hard guy, you know, and he said, he can't refuse my pardon. I'm Andrew Jackson. He's pardoned. So he called the Attorney General to force this guy to take the pardon. And the Attorney General could not settle it, so it went all the way, can you believe this, to the Supreme Court. It really did. And so the Supreme Court ruled on this case of the man that President Jackson issued a pardon to, but he refused to take it. And the Supreme Court said that that pardon was only a piece of paper until it was accepted. It was just a piece of paper until the pardon was accepted. Jesus has already issued a pardon for every one of us. But to you, if you reject Him, it's just a piece of paper. You have never reached out and taken the pardon that Jesus has given. If I had, and I don't have it today, in fact, I've never seen one, and this is really not money that's so big and fat, because those are bills that I've got in here, okay? But what if I pulled out of here $1,000 bill? I've never seen one, so I don't even know whose picture is on the $1,000 bill. No, it's not his. He's not on there, Martha. I'm sorry. She said, President Obama. No, that's wrong. No, it's not on there. I'm sorry about that. Probably nobody here knows whose picture is on there. So we'll go ahead with it. But what if I had a $1,000 bill? What if I'm just passing them out, $1,000 bills? I heard about some law enforcement people, somebody gave them some money, and they would put the blue light on them and stop and give them a $100 bill. Well, I wish that's not what happens to me, okay? They write me a piece of paper that costs $200, okay? I remember one day I was going to a funeral that morning in Athens, and I made a mistake. Somebody put their foot out on the line across the street, and the guy saw me, and that was $200. But if I had a $1,000 bill and said, I'm just passing them out to everybody who wants one, no strings attached, just a matter that I'm just loaded with money and want to give it away. But you have to reach out and take it. You'd have to reach out and take it. And so we find those who refuse to accept the pardon that Jesus has offered to every one of us through Jesus Christ. The Jews refuse the pardon. The children of Abraham would not even come near to Him. They would not. He stuck His hand out. And I really, really haven't had anybody, hardly, I don't think, who ever refused to shake hands with me. I put my hand out, and most people will reach out and shake hands with me. But Jesus reaches His hand out to us. And it's not shake hands with us, but it's to give us eternal life. He says, come here, let me take my hand. I want you to receive me. I want you to be believed upon me. I want to give you eternal life, but we will not reach out and take His hand. The Jews rejected Him. And there were others who rejected Him. Judas, the most pitiful person who ever lived, walked with Christ, lived with Him, heard all His words, saw all the miracles, and he rejected Jesus. That's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. But you know what? I see that often. I see kids that grow up in a Christian home, and they say, well, I'm tired of all that stuff I can't do. I just can't wait till I can do what I want to. All this stuff is church and my parents and old-fashioned folks, and they're raised in a good Christian home, and they go out and live like the devil. Huh? Live like the devil. Break the hearts of the mother and father. Break the hearts of their family. How can that be? They're preachers who have sons or daughters who live like the devil. That's a strange thing. I can't understand it. It's not a matter that they have bad parents. It's not a matter that they have bad parents or that the parents did something wrong. But God gives everyone a free will. A free will. Now, I know people say that you don't have a free will, but it still is, okay? It still is. It still is. And you can't make your kids serve God. You can't make your kids live right. You can't make your kids do the right thing, because God made us a free moral agent with a will that says yes or no. And they can say no to God. When they get grown, they can say no to you. You're probably like me. Daddy said, boy, as long as your feet are under my table, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And I appreciate that. I really do. But my dad could not make me serve God. And no one can. And so Judas is a strange thing. The folks that are brought up right and live like the devil and live like they don't know God. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. At the funeral yesterday, I saw someone. This breaks my heart. But I think about the opportunity that they've had and yet how they're living. And so the thief on the cross, one of them could have, if he could have gotten his hands free, could have reached out and touched Jesus. He heard all the seven sayings from the cross. He heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All of those sayings. And yet he was lost. And when he went to hell just in the reach of Jesus. And he could have been saved if he just had wanted to. And the religious leaders rejected Christ. And so there are those who reject him. And the world at large has rejected him. The world was made by him. John 1:10. And the world knew him not. The world today does not know Christ as Savior. I read a story about Aristotle Onassis, who was one of the richest men at one time in the world. He was a Greek ship owner. And he said, the only thing that really counts is money and riches. He had a 325-foot yacht. He married Jackie Kennedy. But his life changed suddenly one day when his son Alexander was flying a plane and the plane crashed and his son was killed. And may I say to you, what are you going to do when your life crashes? Or what will I do when my life crashes one day? And it can crash for anybody. It can just happen in a bat of an eye. And the man who had everything suddenly became irrational. And in just a short period of time, he had lost half of all that he had. And he died with a broken heart. Christina, his daughter, 35 years old, the richest woman, one of the richest women in the world, died of drugs. How can anybody get involved with such a terrible thing as drugs? But it's happened everywhere. I remember in the late 60s and early 70s when we first started seeing drugs here in this part of the county. Kids. We lost a whole generation of kids here in this community with drugs. Talk to the parents, some of these kids. You know what? They got mad. My kid on drugs? No, sir-ree. My kid's not on drugs. We had murders. Everything you can think of. Right here in South Jackson. The most powerful tool the devil has is drugs. If he can just get you on drugs, he can absolutely destroy and ruin and wreck your life. And when they get on drugs, they'll steal from the parents. They'll even steal from the church. This church has been robbed. Yeah. And the tragedy goes on. And so God has revealed himself to us, revelation, rejection, and reception. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Nicodemus received him. He was a religious guy. He knew all the answers. He knew all the terminology. He received Christ. The repentant thief on the other side, and he said, looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He received Christ. He was a dying thief, rejoiced to see that fountain in his days. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. So there's those who receive Christ. I think finally about not only revelation, that God's revealed himself to us, and rejection, and there are those who reject the truth and reject Christ. And there are those who receive Christ, thank God, for those who receive him, the many as received him. But fourthly, very quickly, there's regeneration. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to believe upon his name. There's power, the authority, power of regeneration. God is able to change our lives. There's no way that I can change my life, but God changes our life on the inside. And as a young boy, almost 9 years old, but 8 years old, I didn't realize what happened to me so much. When I bowed there in the altar and received Christ, I didn't realize that God was going to save me from the power of alcohol. The power of alcohol. Both sides of my family, there's a whole bunch of that stuff in my family. Daddy had two brothers who were alcoholics and a sister who was an alcoholic. But for the grace of God, you say, why aren't you an alcoholic, Brother Bill? Not because I have great willpower, but because I met Jesus and he changed me on the inside. And he gave me power, authority, so that I am not controlled by my DNA, or by my heredity, or who my father is, or who my mother is. I can be controlled by the Spirit of God. My dad was a womanizer. He was a good-looking man, 6'2", handsome. And being good-looking, sometimes, I've never found out about that, okay? But my dad got the looks. And there's women always after him. Little boy, I wondered why all these women, why daddy, father, he's so nice to those women and so bad to my mother. And little boy, one night in an old home, old house, I said, by the grace of God, my dad did something that he shouldn't have done. And I said, by the grace of God, I'm not going to be that kind of man when I grow up. I'm not going to be like my daddy. You don't have to be like your daddy. You don't have to be. You don't have to be doing those things. God gives you power if Christ is in your heart and in your life. You don't have to be like those in your family tree. You don't have to be on drugs. You don't have to be immoral. You don't have to be an immoral kind of person, because when you receive Christ, he gives you power to change your life. And so, the best I can explain it, he claims he changes you want to. He changes you want to. And if you don't want to go to church, I want to tell you, something's wrong with you. Did you know that? If you're saved, you say you're saved, and you want to go to church, you don't want to go to church. When you get saved, God changes you want to. And you look at that alcohol stuff, and you realize, that's not for me. And you look at those strange women, and you realize, that's not for me. You look at that immoral lifestyle and you say, that's not for me. God has given me power over those things. By his grace and power, I'm not going to be ruled by my hormones. I'm not going to be ruled by those things. I'm going to be ruled by the grace of God. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And I can tell you, my hair's gray now, but it pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. I've never seen a person on their dying bed, their deathbed, and I've seen plenty of those. I stood last Sunday at a deathbed. I know about that. I've seen too much of that. But I've never had someone say, "Brother Bill, I'm glad I lived an immoral lifestyle. I'm proud of it." Had a funeral this week, first part of the week. The boy who made a profession here at this church, and I baptized him, and he lived an immoral life, and he came down to the end, and he told his brother, "I'm sorry for the things that I've done. I'm sorry for the life that I've lived." He said, he's dying of cirrhosis of the liver. He said, "I brought all this on myself. I don't have anybody to blame. It's my fault." And so, God said, He gives us power. He gives us power to become possibilities of being something we never dreamed of being. Having a ministry that we never thought we would have. A power to have our lives changed to them that believe on His name. But we have to receive Christ as our Savior. A few months ago, Moth and I were up at Little Gorge, and my dad would tell me the stories about the guy he saw walk across the gorge on the tightrope. And we saw the photographs there. If you've been there, the overlook, and we looked at it. I looked down and I said, "Man, that guy's crazy." I mean, anybody do that? But you know what he did? He walked across that crazy thing, got a wheelbarrow, rolled it back and forth. Then he topped it off. The top of off was he stopped then after he rolled the wheelbarrow across, and he said, "How many of you believe that I could put somebody in a wheelbarrow and roll them across there?" A bunch of them said, "Raise their hand." "Yeah, I believe that." Now, he had rolled about 100 pounds, a whole bunch of stuff in that wheelbarrow. They raised their hand and said, "Come here and get in it." Did you know what? Nobody got in the wheelbarrow. Nobody got in the wheelbarrow. Are you willing today? That's what I'm asking you. Are you willing to get Jesus' wheelbarrow? Let Him take you all the way to heaven. Forgive your sin to give you eternal life. All you have to do is just reach out and take Him. I'm not talking about having it up here in your head. You know about Jesus. Everybody here knows about Jesus. You know He went to the cross. You know He rose from the grave. That doesn't make you saved. It doesn't make you saved. Having it in your head is not a matter of having it in your heart. You need to receive Him. So I ask you, do you just have head knowledge in that? You know, there are a lot of folks in church, I found out, just have head knowledge. It's just in the head. And they don't stick. What's wrong? It needs to move in your heart. For Romans 10:9 says, if you shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that morning in the altar, I said, sink or swim, whatever it is, Jesus, I'm taking you as my Savior. I'm putting everything I have on you. I'm trusting you. I'm just a little kid, barefoot and short pants. And folks, probably won't ever amount to anything. But Lord, whatever I have, I give it to you. And you know what? I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. How wonderful and glorious it is, musicians. Will you come forward? Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Perhaps there's somebody here today. You have head knowledge, but it's not hit your heart. You've given mental assent to some facts, but you never put all your faith in Jesus Christ. just a moment, she's going to play. And I invite you to come forward. Kneel in the altar and receive Christ as your Savior. Be among those who have received Him. Reach out and take it. Or maybe you've been saved, but you haven't publicly followed Him in believer's baptism. We invite you to come. Or maybe there's somebody that you're burdened for, a real need in someone's life, or maybe someone who's breaking your heart, and you want to come and call upon the one, the only one who can do something about it. He's the only one who can change our life. And this morning, we invite you to come. Whatever the need of your life, or maybe there's a need in your life, and you need power to overcome some things in your life, we invite you to come as you play. Shall we stand, please? Would you come?